Yeah. Welcome to the top. With a view different. Whoa.
Four in the club, we rise above. Rooftop talk real, one show love. No fake vibes, just truth we speak. Strong minds build every week.
We break it down, no surface talk. Critical thinking when we walk from pain to purpose. Yeah, we climb, turn real life into a mastermind. No filters here, no highlight lies. We analyze what they disguise, from social fees to inner goals. We building kings, we molding souls. Welcome to the 400 Club Rooftop Talk. Got your boy Ye here, and my man Kristen pulled up. Very thankful for that. Appreciate you, boy.
So, appreciate you, man.
What I want to do is dig into who you are. Like, where are you headed? Like, what is your main objective when you with this podcasting going on? For a while, I've been seeing you on Clubhouse. We've been cool. We haven't really interacted too much, but I didn't really think you had things going on. So let's go into that. Who's Christopher J?
Well, Christopher J is a online avatar of Christopher Joseph Aguirre. Christopher J, actually starts with my real life. I'll say 10 plus years ago, climate was, there's certain things you cannot say. You shouldn't say that because you're going to offend somebody. You gotta monitor what you articulate because people can get offended. And when you try to conform to that, conforming to something that you're not, it could sometimes create a monster, depending on all the components at play. So, birth Christopher J from that, and I created a platform where I literally say anything and everything that I want to say, regardless who gets offended. So that has been my platform, and once I finally took care of was doing that. Everything starts to get, I got older, I got wiser. I still say the things that I want to say. I just find ways to articulate it better. So that way, it's not a shock job. It's not me throwing shit at the mall. Excuse me, throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks. It's the fact that here's the evidence of what I'm articulating, and here's me substantiating it. So to the point where it's irrefutable. I was able to polish that. That was the foundation who Christopher J is. And from then, I was able to transition to other things creative-wise. As far as storytelling, which is something I always had a passion for when I was a kid. And I managed to do that. I managed to put 3 short films out. I have interviewed people that I never thought I would interview, even to this day. That most recently, Momia Obsidian Ali, shout out to content and peace and blessings for making that happen. And also,
definitely had a running with that guy on this platform. That's on one of my episodes.
Shout out to Momia, man. And also, The Angry Man. When I started doing the interviews, him and I has interacted before.
The Angry Man is the people off of the Red Pill talk, or?
Oh, no. Well, Angry Man, he's been there since the inception of the Black Manosphere. He's the one that coined the phrase. You can say Manosphere, Black Manosphere, excuse me, Red Pill, you can say that.
Yeah.
As well, but essentially, when you just knowing him, like I've probably been interacting with Angry Man for four years now. Probably how long Kevin been gone? I think 4 years. Kevin has been passed away for 4 years. So I've been interacting with him for 4 years. 4 years now. We probably got into a heated debate one time on Fight Club. Other than that, I respect the hell out of Angry Man and everything that he represents. So when I approached him with the idea of doing the interview, he said yes. So on my YouTube, at least 90 minutes of a conversation with me, Angry Man. probably my most viewed live stream to this day. Everything I took from it was just a man. He's always one of those people where let him do the talking, you listen. Because
that went well with me.
Well, no. It's a format of he is a man of knowledge and education. This is going to benefit you moving forward to be educated, especially the walks that he been through in life. That was that conversation. So that right there has been the inception of who I am.
You can give your YouTube channels whenever you feel like you want to shout it out. The more they hear it, the more they're going to click on your link. You understand where I'm coming from?
Sure. And for those, it's on the profile now, the BTSI show. The YouTube link is right there under my profile. You could like, share, subscribe, and we'll be back at it again either today or tomorrow with another YouTube stream.
So how long have you been doing this YouTube streaming? How long has it been? So I've known you for about, 3-4 years on this app?
Yeah.
Never knew you were doing that. On that scale. So how long have you been doing it?
YouTube itself, we're on season 12. So I've been doing this since March 20th of 2015. And as far as doing the live stream.
2015, wow.
Yes. And as far as doing the live stream, I want to say 2002. Yeah, later on, 2002 is when I started hooking up the camera and actually doing live, because I come from the era where you have to record yourself, do your edits, right, and then upload. So I'm telling you, like, you talk about me recording for like 10 minutes, maybe 15 times. The edit process is another hour.
Yeah,
that's another hour. And as you're talking about uploads, depending on how fast your computer's going to move, that's probably another hour. But thankfully, I did things on my phone, so I was able to get things done in a fraction of the time as far as that process goes. So
it's fairly easy now. All I do is just click, hit the audible, boom, go into my platform, spit it out. That's why I try to have as much of a clean conversation that I can have. But, you know, some people like to, you know, be a little raunchy, and sometimes that's not what I want. That's why I want us two just to have this conversation. But yeah, that process is tedious. You know what I mean? So you said from 2002 to 2010, 2015 up to now. Okay, so Chris is on BTSI. He's on YouTube, and I wanted to see if you had any other platforms you want to shout out while we at it in the beginning.
On the YouTube side, it is a BTSI show. A shout out to Content Bad Apple Studios. His YouTube is up and running. Shout out to y'all know him as Peace and Blessings on media on YouTube. It is Riding Rose Media. That's his YouTube page. That's up and coming. And of course, shout out to my brother Will. Yeah, Cellulite Podcast, Wrestling Wednesdays. We are taking a break from that. We're definitely going to get back into wrestling content later on down the road. And also, as far as me go, once we get a couple things orchestrated, Whisper of Doubts is my next project that I'm taking my time on. We're going to do the live streams regarding the foundation of that of those series. And then, like I said, nothing that I'm looking to do this season, but you never know how things may go. But we'll then convert it into another short film. Or maybe if we meet the minimum marker for it to be a full-length feature, we'll see. We'll definitely see. Those are on my to-do list for the next 18 months. The Whisper of Doubt series will be done this season. As far as the short film or the feature-length film, maybe next year, maybe. But we'll see.
but a view different.
Club, we rise above. Rooftop talk real, one show love. No fake vibes, just truth we speak. Strong minds build every week.
We break it down, no surface talk. Critical thinking, when we walk from pain to purpose, yeah, we climb. Turn real life into a mastermind. No filters here, no highlight lies. We analyze what they disguise, from social fees to inner goals. We building kings, we molding souls.
Okay, so welcome to the 400 Club Rooftop Talk, man. You got your boy Ye here. You got Christopher here. Appreciate that, Chris. We're going to make sure we follow up, you know, promote that like to promote. That's what I like to do. So the conversation, the topic today is going to be uncomfortable conversations with Ye 400 and Christopher J. Christopher, this is what's going on, right? Everybody, I was trying to build a foundation real quick, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they keep on doing that. So I said tonight. Today we will talk about the conversation.
And for those who is listening to us on all platforms, I appreciate this moment right here, because this is what it's like to be a content creator and rising up to see other echelons, to the upper echelons of being a content creator, because I'm the epitome of never ever having the best of anything when it comes to equipment and how to maneuver around it. I love this space that I'm in, because it's humbling, it's grateful, it builds character. So that way, when we reach the top, because Ye's going places, I don't care what nobody say, Ye's going places. When Ye get up there, we are here to witness the grind of him making it to the top. So if it's not clear enough of how much I appreciate Ye, real talk, round of applause to Ye 400 and anybody that is a content creator who's getting it from the dirt. You guys will forever be respected in my book. Not to say that those who started off with the handout and all this other equipment, who to y'all. I promise you, I'm giving roses to those who start from the ground, work themselves to the top. So, Ye, you never hear this from me. You hear this right now. Salute to you, my brother. You keep that shit up, man. You're doing your thing.
I appreciate that, bro. Could you hear me now? We did. We clear. We good.
Yes, sir. What's that question? Go ahead.
The question is, why do people avoid comfortable comments?
Okay. Why do people avoid uncomfortable conversations? So, the reason why people avoid these conversations is because they're not comfortable with being uncomfortable. That is the epitome of it. You have to get out of your comfort. You have to get out of your comfort zone, because that in of itself can be a crush to your growth. When I tell people I'm swimming in shallow waters, I'm metaphorically speaking on the idea of how far do you want this conversation to go? Because I can take it as far as you or anybody else you have met. I am willing to take my principles all the way there, because I could explore certain extremes in this think piece. And I'm not worried about looking cool, looking swag, or all this other stuff. No, I'm not worried about that. I worry about, no worries, the wrong choice of word. I'm more concerned about the ideas of how far can my principle take me? Meaning, if we explore those conversations, will my principle ever be compromised?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how far I take it. The reason why people cannot take it, because they do not want to talk about that at all, because they're not prepared themselves to talk about it. They don't know how to have that conversation, or what to say, or their cancer is they're worried about what the audience may think of them.
Right.
So that's why whatever conversation you want to have put on the table, let's put it on the table. And if you're not comfortable, that's cool. I'm never going to force you to have a conversation that you're not ready for. That's go chill on the sandy beach. There is no shame in that. I'm going to be in the shallow water swimming with the sharks.
Yeah, so a lot of people to me, yes, sis, a lot of people to me, they don't even have the emotional regulation to have those conversations. You get what I'm trying to say? So mm-hmm. they get uncomfortable because they don't even know how to articulate themselves without them getting...
But to speak up to the point, people are not emotionally regulated to have these conversations. I would agree with that entirely because people wear their emotions on their sleeves everywhere they go in any situation. I always had a problem with that because your emotions can compromise the foundation of what's going on. So when we tell people you have to emotionally detach yourself from this conversation, that doesn't mean you have to pull away unless you're an emotional person, meaning that every decision that you make is ran off of emotions. Yeah, pull away from the conversation then. But you have to emotionally detach yourself. So that way there's nothing but logic and sense so we can have these conversations, whether they're uncomfortable or not. Are we protecting peace or are we protecting something else? I didn't get the last part. I can tell you one thing, depending on what that answer is, it might be the latter. Because you can say peace, but I think when it comes to uncomfortable conversations, people are protecting something else. And I think what they're protecting is the fact that they're protecting their unqualifications. What they're protecting is that they are not capable to have uncomfortable conversations, A, but also B, they're not qualified to have uncomfortable conversations that they are uncomfortable with having with uncomfortable people. I'll give you a perfect example. When it comes to talking to a racist, are you capable of talking to a real racist? Not the idea of talking to a white person and believing that the white person is racist because of the pigmentation. No, 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 no. I'm talking about people who are racist to the core, a supremacist, if that's a better word. Are you comfortable with having a conversation with those who can articulate, or even worse, substantiate their positioning of their racism or being prejudiced or being a white supremacist? Are people comfortable with having those conversations with those type of people? A lot of people are not, and that's okay. I would definitely don't want them to walk in a situation that they're not qualified to handle. I will totally understand that. Leave that to me and the other people. But although I didn't get this question, but you said peace, I don't think it has anything with people protecting the peace. I think they're legitimately protecting the fact that they are unqualified to have conversations that is deemed as uncomfortable.
I said, do people really want honesty in relationship?
Do people really want honesty in a relationship? That's actually a good question, ladies and gentlemen, because the answer is going to be no. Ladies and gentlemen, the answer is going to be no. Do they need honesty in a relationship? Absolutely. Do they really want it? No, not really. I know that's predicated on people's foundation to process information and to, like I said, not wear your emotions on your sleeves. It's always good to hear things that makes you feel good inside, make you build your self-confidence. Now, I'm not saying lie to the person. Don't get it twisted. But what I'm highlighting is, go ahead, man.
The thing is, when it comes down to honesty in the relationship, right, it's kind of like, to me, why do something where you have to be dishonest for? Like, why would you even do that? You feel what I'm trying to say? Because at this point, you're selfish and you're worrying about yourself. At the same, if I give an example of myself, I respect honesty. I don't care if it's going to help me, hurt me temporarily, but at least you gave me the choice of deciding what I'm going to do and how I'm going to go forward with it. I could take the most brutal
this honesty, but at the same time, just expect me not to be as dedicated as I once was when I was dealing with you in the first place, because now the quality of the relationship has dwindled at this point. So what I say with some people, but not most, if we want to talk about gender, even I had a conversation with a young lady, bro. And I told her, I said, I'm talking to somebody right now. Because out of the nowhere, we're having a conversation. She's like, wait a minute. Who are you fucking? Said, I'm fucking. Said, I'm fucking. She said, but who? Like, you like her? I'm saying, I mean, she's nice. I like her. Yeah. She said, wait a minute. So that means when I come down, you're not going to be fucking me anymore. I said, absolutely. And later on, after we're having a conversation, she's like, why did you have to tell me that? Now I'm really determined to come down there to win you now. I said, you shouldn't do that. You're gonna play yourself. I'm not that type of guy. You know what I'm saying? So she didn't want the honesty. She wanted me to lie. And that goes for that question. Like, that's how I feel about that. Can relationships recover after betrayal?
Ooh, I don't know if you cut out or not, but I'm gonna say this. That's a wild situation, number one. But two, I'm not doing you any favors if I lie to you. I'm really not doing any favors. Uh-huh. Because let's say if, not the usual, does this dress make me look fat? I think we're all past that now. And there's no putting health to the side. There's no shame in being a big girl.
Right.
But it's the fact that if I'm telling you, if I'm over, what's what I'm looking for? Let's say if you're at work and you are working on a project and I'm telling you all these positive, well, not positive affirmation. If I'm telling, you did this, you did a good job on this, you did that, they was wrong and that type of stuff. I'm not lying. I'm not doing that just to build yourself up, because you might, whatever critique they gave you is probably a legitimate critique, especially right. If I can see it myself and be like, they are accurate in what they're saying. I'm not going to sit there and say they're tripping, they're lying, don't mind, I'll continue to do you. No, this is not a point. This is not one of those times where you're an entrepreneur. This is the fact that you are an employee, you are underneath somebody, and they are underneath somebody as well. They gave you an honest critique about something that you're doing. I could confirm what they're saying or I could deny it. But if there is confirmation, tell them the truth, because that could be detrimental to her. That could ultimately be detrimental to you and that household later on down the road. You're doing nobody any favors by lying to them. So do they want the truth in relationships? The answer is no. If I had to put a majority or minority, I believe the majority of people do not want the truth in a relationship. But I can tell you right now, I can say this in an absolute, all of them need the truth. They just don't want it.
Welcome to the top. With a view different. Club, we rise above. Rooftop talk real, one show love. Ooh, no fake vibe, just truth we speak. Strong minds build every week.
We break it down, no surface talk. Critical thinking when we walk from pain to purpose. Yeah, we climb, turn real life into a mastermind. No filters here, no highlight lies. We analyze what they disguise, from social fees to inner goals. We building kings, we molding souls.
So I was saying, can a relationship recover after betrayal?
But can a relationship recover after betrayal? Absolutely. Anything is recoverable. Even the most extreme situations is a recoverable situation. The question is, it involves two parties. Are you willing to ask the abuser, and I use abuser in air quotes, to cover all, as an umbrella term, to call the little to the most extremes? The question is, are you willing to acknowledge what you have done? Are you willing to take accountability for what you have done? Are you willing to be apologetic for what you have done? Are you willing to show that there's a changed behavior from what you have done?
Well, Chris, you know, it takes a whole lot of work, right? And nowadays, people do not want to work that hard. To like, if they messed up, they'd rather move on. Like, you know what? Let me just start all over again. Even if that person made them feel so amazing in all types of ways, they still want to, they don't want to do the work. And the thing is, you don't get anything. If things come easy to you, you do not need it in your life. If you work hard for it, okay, then it's some substance behind it, behind yourself, and it has some meaning behind it. Boom, you take it and then you move on with it. The thing is, you said it is betrayal is recoverable. And I'm thinking, like, what about public embarrassment from social media, staying because love versus fear or starting over? Those things, like, because to me it's a betrayal even in that when it comes down to staying over of fear instead of love. You get what I'm coming from right now?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And you're right. It would be easier to start over, especially if you are the victim in that situation. It would be definitely easy to start over. Even a person that committed the act of treason, lack of a better word, it would be easy for them to start over. Like, hold on. I know I messed up, but I'm not about to do all of this just for a relationship. I'm gonna go start somewhere else.
Right.
And that's their prerogative.
That's their prerogative.
Some things, but I think you said it, things that come easy, it's not worth it.
Right.
So if you're willing to put the work in, yeah, that means you're a fighter. And if you're a fighter, you're going to be on the front line of your relationship because the foundation is, well, the active foundation is, this is what I did and I'm not doing this again. So I'm going to change. I'm going to change for myself first and for the person that I victimized.
Oh, man, it's like I'm thinking about certain things that's kind of like overwhelming in my brain. You get what I'm coming from? And I just like got a little stuck because someone sent me a music video of that woman, Mariah the Scientist. Have you heard of her before? And it was basically stating that she knows she messed up. It's called Only Human. You know, and through all our different experience and all that, only thing we can really say is we're human. Is that excuse? Why do you think people stay in relationships? They outgrow comfort and routine, financial dependence, children involved, fear of loneliness, attachment versus genuine love.
Well, it's funny that you say you outgrow a relationship because I can make the argument you should have been in that relationship to begin with.
If you outgrow it.
Yes, you should never have been there to begin with. If you outgrew a relationship, is not supposed to be outgrown. A relationship is supposed to last forever. Let's talk about it. So
yeah, let's talk about it. That's kind of tricky, if you ask me.
I know, I get it. Let's walk through it. So the fact that there's five components of almost everything, especially when it comes to relationship: physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and financial. For you to elevate yourself in those five components is a great thing.
Right.
Why did that person that you made a commitment to did not grow with you?
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a multitude of things. That person is not on that same journey as you, or that person, you didn't want to take that person with you. And that person wasn't on that same journey as you. What made you guys so compatible in the beginning to begin with? And was that something substantial for a long period of time? Did you accidentally conflate your standards for your preferences or for what's good right now? If that's what you did, that's the foundation of your relationship. And you was never supposed to do that to begin with.
That's what I was. When you look into the chat, and because I was just thinking about the same thing. Everybody do grow at their own rate. You know what I'm trying to say? It's not like, okay, I woke up and I'm not feeling a certain type of way about you anymore. I want to grow out with someone else. I don't want to be in this relationship anymore because I outgrew you. And I'm like, I said, when you grow and he doesn't grow with you, are you willing to stick it out with him until he grows? And she's like, well, I don't think I want to do that. You know what I'm saying? But they was together for some years. You following me?
Mm-hmm. I get it. And right. also want to highlight, it's their prerogative. If they want to stay, they want to go. Don't imprison anybody into any relationship that they don't want to be in. Let them go and let God deal with them. That's none of your business. But going to the point of everybody grows different. I understand that everybody grows different. You guys are two different components. But one thing I want to highlight is, you mean to tell me as growing different, as being two different people, you guys cannot find any commonality that you guys can hold on to? Like, what's the, like, I'm always like, for example, me, let me use me and Lolita. Like, obviously, her and I come from different backgrounds, obviously. But there are some things that we tend to vibe with more often than all any other things that's different, although we're still in the growing process. I think we should highlight what we both treasure the most, what we value the most, and grow in that. Because for you to outgrow a relationship, that's interesting, because that means there's several things you was not focused on, and what you wanted to do was prioritize something else, and you just lost track of what the things that brought you into that relationship.
It doesn't sound like genuine, because the mere fact that people grow out of each other a lot, like all the time. So you're talking as if it's not natural. Is that where we headed?
Say that one more time.
Can you hear me? I said, you talk like it's unnatural, because people do fall out of love with each other. You know what I mean? And they do grow out of each other at a certain point. You follow me? So I'm kind of confused when you say, you never was meant to be together, if this and that. But like, the thing is, if you're with somebody, y'all grown with each other, y'all actually grown as like, you know, like you're raising each other in a way. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to always have to try to, you know what I'm saying, bring you to my liking, you bring me to your liking, so we can be on the same page. You don't believe in that. You just think that if you outgrow with each other, you wasn't meant to be together, period. That's how you feel.
That's correct.
Wow.
That's correct. Because for you to, like, I'm dead serious.
You said that's correct. Yeah, well, yeah, I don't doubt you're serious. I'm taking you serious. I'm just saying, like, you know, you said that's correct. I'll let you expound on it. Yeah.
Because for you to, like I said, one thing people try to do is say, we must be compatible on all formats. The only thing I would say is you guys' foundation needs to be the same, and you could grow on top of that. If your foundation is the same, then there's no way that this relationship is going to crack, or is this relationship going to fall apart, or in the case of this, outgrow one another. That's not so. That there will be that. Like I said, mm-hmm. if you are let me give an example.
I say, I feel like you have more of an explanation behind it. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
If two people are not willing to work on that relationship to keep up with each other, then it wasn't meant to be in the first place. It's like if one is pulling and one is pushing, that relationship and that dynamic is not gonna work. I don't know. Maybe I'm fishing here. I'm just trying to dissect what you're saying right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I want to give an example. Let's say, and I don't want to use the typical, she's into love and hip hop, and I'm into playing video games, and now I want to do something.
It's going a little better than that.
Let's say if she was into like some type of sipping paint stuff, and I'm into open poetry. And that's just not our thing. That's cool. The answer is okay. That's not our thing, honestly. And I'm not going to force you to be into something that is not, that's not you. Especially that's my foundation. Because if that's the foundation of who I am, then it will behoove me to be with somebody that's like-minded just like that. If not, then that's a waste of my time. But given that, let's say we're both believers, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And with that being the same foundation, let's say she still likes the sipping paint thing, and I still like open poetry. There's no way that we can outgrow each other because the foundation is still the same. The problem is, the reason why people go on two different paths is because they're not aligned where it counts the most. So if that's the case, you should never been in that situation to begin with.
What a view different.
Rooftop talk real one show love.
No fake vibes, just truth we speak. Strong minds build every week.
We break it down, no surface talk. Critical thinking when we walk from pain to purpose. Yeah, we climb. Turn real life into a mastermind. No filters here, no highlight lies. We analyze what they disguise, from social fees to inner goals. We building kings, we molding souls.
Welcome to the 400 Club Rooftop Talk, man. It's your boy, yeah, I got my boy Chris here. The topic is uncomfortable conversations. And that's what we're doing right now. Because even this conversation in this moment is kind of uncomfortable. Because the same things that you kind of believe on, that's not the foundation in my beliefs at the same time. I think I'm trying to find a common ground in this conversation with us, right? So let me go on to the next question. What hurts more, getting cheating on or being emotionally replaced before the breakup?
Being emotionally replaced before the breakup. Because when it comes to cheating, physical, you can get over the physical stuff. That stuff heals on its own. When it comes to the mental, emotional, that takes time. That takes patience. That takes a lot of work. Anytime you, if you make yourself emotionally available to somebody, and they fracture, that affects all the other components. Physical, because you might actually be doing something to yourself to try to cope with it. Mental, because it's actually on your mind and it's keeping you from being focused. Your spirit, your spiritual side, that's supposed to keep you in grounded. You might have poisoned that. And as far as financial, anything for you to be happy, you'll spend money on things you should not spend money on, no matter what the amount is. So it's always detrimental to be emotionally replaced than to be physically cheated on.
So you said the second one, basically. Okay, well, to be emotionally, to me, I think it's the second one because it takes a little more. It's like, okay, you cheated. Fine. How long that was going on? Fine, okay, but the other one, being emotionally replaced before the breakup, while they're cheating, though that feeling of being that empty feeling of that person, you know, giving you when it comes down to the emotions, when it comes down to even having conversation, it's just like a numbness there. You feel what I'm trying to say? And so at this point, you're thinking like, yo, like I'm trying to hug, I'm trying to kiss, I'm trying to do flowers, I'm trying to do this, and every attempt is failed. Miserably. Don't let it be some children are involved and they're looking at, and the kids are looking at you. They understanding, but not understanding. You get what I'm trying to say? And it gets even deeper with that. That shit right there. That hurts, right? So, fake loyalty and silence competition. I just don't want to stay on relationships. Now I want to go into something with the friendship. So I want this topic to be fake loyalty and silent competition. Following that, can your friends secretly resent your success? Come on and talk to me now, Chris. Envy in friendship, competition disguised as jokes. Supports when you are struggling versus support when you are winning. Energy shift is an aftergrowth. What do you think about those talking points, Chris? Because this some shit gets real.
Yeah, there is some jealousy with people when you tend to do something different or you choose to elevate. There's always going to be some form of jealousy. Now, obviously not with everybody, just by a certain few people. The question will be then is, if you're so jealous of the person, number one, that's eternal. People's jealousy has nothing to do with you at the end of the day. It has everything to do with them. It starts with them and it ends with them. They try to sprinkle a little bit of everybody else to try to justify their reason of feelings, not knowing that the component of their issue is always going to be them. When people are jealous, there's really nothing I can do about that, honestly. And the only thing I can do is continue doing what I've been doing, because chances are I don't know that you're jealous.
Right. That's what I was going to say. That's what the hurt comes in at. You get what I'm saying?
Right. And I don't have, and also I don't have the desire to, what's what I'm looking for? I don't have the desire to entertain your jealousy. But since you said friends, that's a little bit different. Now, we're going to have a conversation. As I, first of all, you have to acknowledge that you're jealous. Who, what, when, where, how, and why? All six of those questions have to be answered when it comes to jealousy.
Right.
And then once we answer those questions, now we can find out the root of the problem.
Sometimes it's just not. Sometimes it's not a root. Sometimes it's just that person's nature. And how do you deal with somebody with that shit? You get what I'm saying?
Now you said nature. That's interesting. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Because here's my take: if you're moving off of nature,
right,
I don't believe you have principles to hold on to.
Because
your principle is going to alleviate you reverting back to. To your nature, to your core.
It's natural. It's just like, I don't think you just opened up some shit just now, right? Because basically when I say, hey, everything is just nature, natural for me. So if it flow that way, that's the way I'm going to flow. But you're saying if you just go by, okay, it's nature. Nature has no bounds. Nature has no. It has no obligation to anything. It's just it's not even regulated. That's nature. So basically, you're saying that's all chaos. That's basically what it is. That's what it sounds like right now. That's what we're going to.
Yeah, everybody has the potential to be chaotic.
But
a lot of people have what it takes to control themselves.
Right. Okay. Well, that's nature. That's exactly what they're gonna say. Amen. It's a part of our nature. Okay, listen about this. What about this part? Supporting when you are struggling versus supporting when you are winning when it comes down to a friendship. What do you think about those type of people?
Say that one more time. What's important? Supporting you when you're struggling.
Supports when you are struggling versus support when you are winning.
Okay. So when it comes to that, if you are supporting me when I'm struggling, but you don't support me when I'm winning, that's gonna be a red flag, because it's easy to support me when I'm down because I can stay down. But
right.
When I'm up, distance yourself. It's like you was here in the beginning. Why would you not be here with me?
It makes you feel uncomfortable. Yes, sir.
Yeah, because it's like we're winning.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you were supporting me. What was your end goal of supporting me? For me to stay at the bottom? That's not support.
That's crazy.
That's not the goal.
So but people really do think like that, though, Chris. You know that because the energy shift after the growth.
Right. So that means you was never. That means you was never supporting me to begin with, and you was never support. If you were never supporting me, then that means your motives at the beginning was flawed and it's off, and was not genuine. So you're not supporting. You're actually holding me back.
Have you ever dealt with somebody in real life like that? That you, like a friend that you thought I was a friend, and then you see all those things happen in them. Have you ever been through that before?
Personally, no,
yeah.
No,
never.
Never. Anybody?
It's either you have a close circle of people or you don't really deal with anyone at all. Because shit, that I have dealt with that previous time. So for you not to deal with that, and in the road that you're already on, you got people around you, you're doing your thing and everything. So you don't have no one ever in your life that you had that dynamic with at all. It's interesting. You did?
Yeah. And it's like, because at the end of the day, I know... I know where I'm going and where I want to go. And anybody that's riding with me knows where I'm going and where I want to go. There's people on my team from the YouTube. On YouTube, I only keep up with Brittany B. Shout out to Brittany B on YouTube. And she knows ultimately my stuff about what I'm doing. Matter of fact, she was there with me for all three short films. On the Clubhouse side, whether it be my BTSI team, whether it be Bad Apple Studios, whether it be Rotten Rose Media, anybody else I'm affiliated with, I know where I'm going.
Right.
Or they're welcome to come. If not, I'm okay with that. That's how you handle the situation. You let people know what your intentions are in the beginning, so nobody's blindsided at the end.
Got you. I don't know that. I fucked that up. My bad, bro.
It's all good, man.
So my thing is, right? Okay, we're going. I'm going to go into question two, right? Do people outgrow friendships naturally? I'll get some talking points here. I would say childhood friendship versus adult alignment, different lifestyle, one-sided effort, emphasis on that, and protecting peace instead of forcing history. Do people outgrow friendships naturally? You got it.
The same principles for outgrowing a relationship is the same thing as a friendship, because that's just another form of a relationship. So when it comes to childhood stuff, especially me, I'm 38 years old. So I did not have a personal cell phone, obviously, back in the 90s, because if y'all know who my father was, I was not going to get nothing that way. No, the answer is no. He's not going to buy me no cell phone. He has never bought me a cell phone, and it will never happen. So when it comes to friends, I have my friends from school, of course, friends from down the block. But because we're children, we don't get to, well, we don't have the authority to say we get to hold on to our friendships if parents decide to make the ultimate decision that's best for them and their family. Mm. So I'm not really counting friendship when it comes to children. As far as adults, the same principle applies. If our foundations are different, then we wasn't supposed to be friends to begin with, because there's really nothing that's keeping you not being that person's friend. Like, one of my closest friends are Paul, Kersey, Jamal. I met them when I went to University of Houston for that 1 year. These things, like, seasons change in life. That's a fact. However, if they were to call me right now, because those are still my friends to this day, although the communication has then lessened, because everybody has their own thing in life. But we never outgrow each other. They already know when there's a milestone, I'm coming.
Right.
Jamal, just during the pandemic, Jamal had his baby. Best believe I traveled to the other side of town to be there with him, his lady, and their beautiful daughter. Paul housewarming. I was there. Matter of fact, to his Halloween party as well. Kersey has been there for me, was one of the groomsmen in my wedding. Paul was there as well. And even the baby shower. Hey, man, my people, we're going to show up for each other regardless. Mm. So there's really no such thing as outgrowing a friendship. What was you guys' foundation like?
Oh, wait, hold on, Chris. Wait a minute, Chris. Wait. I just heard you say it's no reason to outgrow a friendship. Mm-hmm. Earlier, we had a conversation about a relationship, and you say, wait a minute. Okay. No, it's the same talking point.
Take your time, man. Trust me.
This
is the key, my brother.
Okay. Wait, hold on a minute. Do you give relationships with, you know, romantic relationships the same grace that you have friendship relationships with? You get what I'm trying to say?
Yes, because the foundation is a relationship regardless. What type of relationship may varies, but the foundation is going to be the same.
Mm-hmm. I got you. Okay, that was good. My bad for that. So my thing is, when it comes down to protecting peace instead of forcing the history, right? Like, if I knew you, right? But then every time we have a conversation, something is conflicting there, and we kind of, like, you know, it's like an argument or something like that, bro. I can't. You always criticize me in a harsh way. We can't even have a conversation without you, you know, insulting me. You feel what I'm saying? I give you a perfect example. Me and my younger brother, bro, like, you know, we've been through some things, and we do have a friendship between each other. But at the same time, you know, it's hard for us to get along, if you follow where I'm coming from. It's things that he blamed me for coming up, because at one point we were homeless, living together and sleeping in, like, stolen cars and stuff like that. I mean, I come from a fucked up background, right? It's what it is. I don't need no sympathy or empathy from no one. But then, as we get older, now in our 40s, he was still pointing back to that. But then, so now, recently, he, you know, had an epiphany and started sending me Bible verses and all types of other shit. And he wants to be
He wants to build that relationship again. But I've tried over and over and over. And it feels though, because of that bad history, I have to let you go because I can't no longer trust you as my brother in that having that friendship with you. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So just because we had history, just because we had blood tied together, you destroying my peace at this point. I don't want to go do. I don't want to do this any further with you. And that's sad to say. Okay, so now I want to go into this question: should every disagreement end a friendship?
Should every disagreement end a friendship? Absolutely not.
So what about internet culture promoting cutting people off quickly, conflict resolution disappearing? I know you see that. Accountability and friendship, pride and ego. What about all those things? Because this is really being really pushed out there for us to be. I just feel though they don't want to connect the way we used to connect. You get what I'm trying to say? So go ahead.
Yeah, so you should not end any type of relationship because of one small disagreement, especially you guys have the same foundation. That is crazy.
Yeah.
And these people that talk about you got to cut people off or whatever the case may be, let's follow that. The why is going to be important. Why are you cutting this person off? Because it's going to go back to maybe you guys should never been in that relationship to begin with. If you're talking about cutting people off. If someone's in a situation, dire situation, yeah. I get the idea, like, you really need to save yourself because your livelihood is in danger. You got to hurry up and get out that situation. But to end a relationship because you disagree on the color schemes of a house, a thought process of something so minute. And most of these conversations people are disagreeing over is maybe over some minute shit. It's like you broke up with them because their favorite color red and your favorite color is blue. I'm not talking about no blood encryption. I'm talking about more superficial than that. Although I see a lot of purple babies, that's none of my business. Y'all agreed on something, but that's neither here nor there. But to disagree on something so minute, then I question the validity or the strength of your relationship.
Well, we talk about pride and ego. Of course, the pride and ego people they don't know when to stop. Let me ask you a question. You say you have three to four good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And this is before anything that you had going on, before they knew your plan, before your podcast and everything. Would your friends still value you if you lost your money, your status, or influence tomorrow?
Yes.
You think so?
I know so, because that was never my foundation of who I am as a person to begin with.
But it's not about your foundation, is it?
As far as personal, yes, because who is Christopher Joseph Aguirre? Christopher Joseph Aguirre is not Christopher J. Christopher J is a
avatar of
Christopher Joseph Aguirre. And to Christopher Joseph Aguirre's core, it's not about money. It's not about status. You could take away you could strip that away from him. Who is he as a man? That's who he is. That's what people are going to value me for. Because I can get into some shit today. As far as financial troubles, struggles, all of this can be taken away from me. At the end of the day, I still have me. I have a son to raise. What are you going to do? My actions based off of who I am when my back against the wall is who I am at my core. It was never money. It was never status.
Welcome to the top. With a view different. Rooftop talk real one show love. No fake vibes, just truth we speak. Strong minds build every week. We break it down, no surface talk. Critical thinking when we walk from pain to purpose. Yeah, we climb, turn real life into a mastermind. No filters here, no highlight lies. We analyze what they disguise, from social fees to inner goals. We building kings, we molding souls.
Okay, welcome to the 400 Club Rooftop Talk, man. We still here, man. We still rocking out. All right, Chris. And then three, I wanted to go into parenting and family. So you see, as you, I don't know if in people or not, I'm going from relationships to friendship, and now I'm going to the parenting part. These are the uncomfortable conversations people do not want to have. Why? I feel as though that because we have different parenting, parental skills, you know, raisings and the way we, our skills are, when it comes down to that, that we don't, we kind of like judge each other on how we raise our children and stuff like that. That makes sense to you. So general trauma and hard truth. Do parents always deserve forgiveness? I give you some talking points. Accountability for parents, childhood trauma. They did their best debate, healing without hatred.
Yes. The answer is yes. I know a lot of people don't want to hear that because their mothers, what their mothers put them through, especially their fathers, what they put them through. I will say this, that doesn't absolve them from receiving forgiveness. Because some people were doing, some parents were just doing their best and some parents was not doing anything at all.
Right.
You need to forgive them for the sake of you. So that cancer can be alleviated from your heart.
Now, is that real? Is that reality?
It is reality, yes. It's 100% reality if you want to make it reality.
Only I don't think people can regulate themselves in that type of way. You get what I'm trying to say? Because a lot of people have grown up with a lot of trauma, and that's what it comes from the childhood trauma. So if they have trauma but don't even recognize they have trauma, that trauma, how can they be able to forgive someone if they don't even have the tools to forgive that person? Even if their parents, you know, their parents came from a certain background, even talk about myself, Chris, it's certain things that I couldn't forgive because I felt at one point in time you were old enough as myself and you could have, you know what I'm saying, like took the time to take care of that trauma. That's how I feel. And do I feel as though, to the question, do parents always deserve forgiveness? I think it's a level to forgiveness. What do you think about that, Chris?
Expound more on that, levels to forgiveness.
There's different levels. It's forgiving totally. It's forgiving, but, you know, keeping you at a distance. And it's forgiving and not fucking with you at all.
Okay. I'd say there's choices, too. That sounds like choices to forgiveness, which I'm not mad at. Because I do believe everybody deserves forgiveness. That doesn't absolve you from outcome or consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So I will forgive you for what you did. I will also forgive you for what you didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean I have to be around you. Because, ladies and gentlemen, your mother, father, brothers, sisters, grandmother, all of those names, all of those titles, that's all they are at the end of the day.
They did their best.
Yes, of course. There's some parents who do their absolute best, but unfortunately they fall short. It happens. At least you tried. In comparison to the parents who didn't try, but even then, I'm still going to give you forgiveness as if you didn't did anything at all. Because I cannot.
Well, you forgiving ass nigga, because that right there, my friend. Cause I don't know how I can go on like that, bro. Go ahead, you do your thing. You spill the beans, bro. Go ahead.
Yeah, because I cannot afford to hold on to a piece of anger that's affiliated with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because those five components that I brought up, it will creep into those other components.
Mm.
It never fails. It will absolutely never fail that if you don't handle your business right now, it will mess up everything else. I am the epitome of a person who will bottle stuff up and take it out on the wrong person every single time. So I will acknowledge what you did. I will forgive you for what you did, whether you say sorry or not. And I'm going to leave it right there and I'm going to move on because I'll be damned, excuse my language, if I take any piece of anger and put it on somebody else. It will never happen. I would never.
Yeah, that's crazy. That even could fall into when you're dealing with your children at the same time, too. And then you just catch yourself like, yo, what am I mad for? What am I yelling at my kids for? It's kind of crazy right there. You feel what I'm saying? Boy.
Boy, and have I done that a few times? Yes, I've done that a few times because I'm only human at the end of the day. But at least I catch myself. I'll catch myself literally, Chris, and be like, yo, hey, come here. I didn't mean that for you, but I'm kind of angry right now. I'm sorry. Okay, give me a hug. I love you. You get what I'm trying to say? Because I'm harboring some anger and shit from someone else that has nothing to do with you. But I know. But do you know where I got that from, Chris? I got that from dealing with my mother. And when she was mad at her dude, she's taking out on us. You see how deep that shit go, though, right?
Yeah.
My second question is, can parents accidentally create emotionally disconnected children? I'll give you some talking points here.
Okay.
Lack of affection. Fear-based parenting, emotional suppression, children learn communication from parents. I just stated that. Bada bing, bada boom. Go ahead. You got it.
Yeah. And it can be created. The parents can definitely orchestrate the downfall of their children, especially being emotionally disconnected. Mm. Because I believe in an open door policy in my house, not obviously physically, but in a literal sense. My bedroom door is right there. The grandkids across the hallway. This is an open door house.
Let me make this clear.
Any problems? You come into my room and let's have a conversation. Or you call me to your room and we could talk it out. Mm-hmm. And also you have a way to get in contact with me if not inside this house. Right. Whatever's on your mind, I don't care what it is, you talk to me. Because for me to shut you, for me to close that door means you're going to have to go. I created something absent in your life and you have to go somewhere else and go look for it. And who knows what you may find out there that could be a positive or a negative. My question is, as a parent, why would you want to take that chance on your kid? And more times than not, you created them distancing themselves from you because, dad, mom, your door was closed. Why did you not open the door? Something as simple as opening the door to your bedroom can fix a lot of things.
That's true, though. That's true. That alleviates the option of second guessing, should I go and have that conversation? She may not be feeling like they want to talk at the time. And it all depends on that environment of that house, too. That is crazy, Chris. That's crazy. Good shit. I'm going to talk about cultural expectations. Now, I'm just going to give some talking points first, and then I'm going to go into that question. I just want to build up some tension, right? Cultural expectations, right? What's some cultural expectations to come down to parents and kids? I'm the parent. What I say goes. You're the child. You listen. When it comes down to boundaries in adulthood, even though that you're grown, I'm still your parent. I'm older than you. You need to listen. That goes crazy. Toxic family dynamics, right? Then you got respect versus blind loyalty. So with all that being said, should children owe parents unconditional loyalty?
No.
Go into it.
Because the idea of I'm your parent, you will listen to me, you will do A, B, C, and D. I said, number one, I'm going to need you to respect your child a lot.
Mm.
And also, don't provoke your child to anger. That's another thing. Now, some parents are going to say, this is my child. I brought them in as well. I can do this. I can do that. I say, I hope you're not a Bible believer, because it's right there in the Bible for you not to provoke your children. So I was like, just in case for those who are listening who didn't know, don't look at me crazy. Heck, go to Google. If you don't believe me, go to ChatGPT. If you don't believe me, Grok might know a thing or two. So if you don't believe me, go ask them. But it's been in the same book that you've been reading as a child. That's neither here nor there. But back to the question, do I think children owe that to their parents? I'm going to say no, because for the simple fact that they didn't ask to be here. You brought them here without asking.
Fire.
So because you brought them here, technically you owe them an obligation to make sure that they are ready to go outside this front door and conquer the world. Now, does that mean they have the the freedom to outright disrespect you? Absolutely
no.
Not. I never Definitely said that. Not. All I'm saying is this.
But what about when they return adults? Does that go to the same? Is that the same?
I'm not obligated to my parents, even now. Like, but that, does that mean I don't appreciate them? Does that mean I don't appreciate them?
No, I wouldn't say that, but at this point, I'm setting boundaries. I'm grown now. You have to respect me like I'm grown. And if you can't respect me like I'm grown, then I think that we should connect connections, talk less. Because, you know, I'm the king of my own castle now. When I was in your home, you was the king of your castle, and I respect it. But at this point, you know, guys, you know, some parents don't have no boundaries, Chris. A lot of them don't. You know what I'm saying? So here's a question for you. What's more damaging, an absent parent or an emotional unavailable parent?
Emotionally unavailable.
I go with the second two as well. You want to expound on it just a little?
Because how dare you be there and not be there for your child at the same damn time? What are we talking about here? Man, please. I wish I would grow up and my dad, who is from Nigeria, to be exact, so now y'all know what dynamic I'm coming from.
Yeah.
And you guys know how emotionless, according to the narrative,
African dads are.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, in his own way, as I see this as I get older now,
mm-hmm.
he didn't have to do any of that for me. He didn't have to do all of that. The fact that he stuck in there, did everything for especially a portion of by himself,
mm-hmm.
because he's a divorced person as well when it came to having four children.
Wait a minute, he became a single dad too?
Yeah. Married, then divorced.
What was his wife, American?
I'm off in the Midwest, somewhere in the Midwest. For them, I would much rather you not be here.
Mm-hmm.
Than to be unavailable.
Right.
What message are you sending your child
right.
for just being there and not interacting with them? See, and also that goes
to become a psychopath.
Yeah, and that goes to the step parent conversation.
Yeah,
like I don't fault people who say they don't want to be step parents. When they get into the wives, that's when I proceed to go upside their head because it's based off of stupid stuff. But I'm gonna say is this: if you are not going to be there, don't be there.
Right.
Because right. She is a package deal. Or ladies, he is a package deal. If you're going to be there all the way. Both your feet need to be inside the house.
Right.
Not one at the front door, one in the bedroom. That's not how this works. And ignore the little footsteps along the way. Be there or be gone.
Right. 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 I'm with you. I'm with you when you're right, man. When you're right. Because at the same time, like, you don't know what type of little bastard monster that you building at this point. It's the numbness that you're giving this kid. Like, you don't give no attention, no nothing, man. That's just, it ain't easy. Never said it was easy. Let's go.
What a view different. Rooftop talk real one show love. No fake vibe, just truth we speak. Strong minds build every week.
We break it down, no surface talk. Critical thinking when we walk from pain to purpose. Yeah, we climb, turn real life into a mastermind. No filters here, no highlight lies. We analyze what they disguise, from social fees to inner goals. We building kings, we molding souls.
So now in this final segment, I want to talk about self-accountability, right? And when it comes down to self-accountability, the topic is going to be the hardest conversation is with yourself. It's the hardest conversation. People hear accountability, what they do, they head for the hill, or they do a pride and ego. They don't really want to give up that spot, they don't want to step off that throne and make themselves look bad. Ego and pride kills a nation, if you ask me. Are we becoming addicted to validation, Chris?
Unfortunately, we are. Never mind the education that you have, never mind the work ethic that you put in. It mm-hmm. means nothing if Mo doesn't say a good job. It means right. absolutely nothing Woo. If Animo didn't give me a salute. It right. means little. It means it's pointless. If I'm your net, hopefully I didn't mispronounce your name, sweetheart. If she don't give me my thumbs up, it means nothing.
But that's Aminette. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Aminette, I'm sorry, sweetheart. But it means nothing if they don't say it's something. No. Mm-hmm. No, and respect to all of them. Aminette, this is my first time meeting you. How you doing, sweetheart? I know who Mo is. I know who Animal is. I rock with both of them. But I'm letting you know right now, I know what's inside my brain. I know what's inside this entire body as far as work ethic go. I know right. What's in my heart about doing the right thing when no one's looking. I know what it means to have nobody to come to your rescue and you got to dig your way out. And I respect both of them and all of y'all. But trust me when I say, I'm not looking for anybody's validation because you're not God the Father, you're not God the Son, you're not God the Holy Spirit. I'm bound to something different.
But it takes a pretty confident person to talk the way you're talking. Like, it doesn't build overnight. You understand where I'm coming from?
Not at all.
Is loneliness teaching people, or you think that loneliness is destroying people? What do you think?
Say them one more time. I'm sorry.
Is loneliness teaching people, or you do think it's just destroying them? Loneliness.
Is loneliness teaching people or destroying them? That is a good
yes. Because question. If you're addicted to validation, you're afraid to be alone. You need others to validate you, so you need an audience. So, do you think loneliness is teaching people, or do you think it's destroying them? Some, not all.
I believe loneliness is destroying them because they refuse to be educated when no one's looking.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm probably one of the most unrecognizable people. Let's just keep it to Clubhouse, just to keep this pool small.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably one of the most unrecognizable, uncheckable people out there. When I mean uncheckable, meaning no one's looking, no one's trying to look to see what I'm doing, which makes the idea of people running content on me even more foolish, but that's neither here nor there. Shout out to them. God bless them. Mm-hmm. But when no one's looking at me, I'm working.
Right.
When no one's there to come to my rescue, I'm learning.
Mm-hmm.
And when people are going about their merry way, I am executing. This is what I always tell people. It's good to have people around there for mm-hmm. you, support you. It's good. Do I need it? No. I made it here. I have a story to tell. If anybody want to hear about it, how did I get here? And trust me, I got here with little to no help.
Right.
BTSI right. show. You know how many times I've been gatekept of knowledge on how to do all of this?
Oh, my God.
I had to figure out on my own.
Right.
12 years, season 12, we have. Oh, yeah, people hate that. People are mad about that because I wasn't supposed to have all this information.
Right.
You wasn't checking for me. Since you wasn't checking for me, I don't need your validation.
That's strong. That's strong, bro. That's strong. So like I said, we're talking about self-accountability right now, right? And the hardest conversation is to have it with yourself, right? So I want you to think about this question in about 2 seconds. What truth about yourself took the longest to accept? Let me say that again. What truth about yourself took the longest to accept?
You're not going to get the same help like everybody else get. What works for everybody else, what is not guaranteed to work for you.
What do you mean by that?
In life, certain things that's supposed to work as a general guideline or operation, just how life works. If I go to the hospital, I'm supposed to be seen for this injury. Sometimes when I go to the hospital, it will be hours. It might be days before someone gets to me. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Because what privileges are for Mo is not for me. What privileges are for Animal is not for me. What privileges are for Aminette is not for me. What privileges are for Ash is not for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you my brother. What privileges are for you is not mine.
Right. Okay.
Your privileges, your dreams, your outcomes are yours. They do not belong to Christopher Joseph Aguirre. So instead of sitting back and watching everybody live their life, go find yours. That took years for me to figure out. And when I accepted that outcome, mm-hmm. I was able to proceed forward.
That's maturity in itself. If you really think about it, like, you know what? I can't sit here and wonder why this isn't working out for me, because it worked out for him the way he did it. I got to go on and do it on myself and figure out my own thing. That's great. Are people healing or just distracting themselves? What do you think?
Absolute distraction. 100% distraction. Only a handful of people I've seen heal. Only a handful of people in my life I've seen heal.
They full of shit, girl.
Straight distraction. Tell me something. Remember when you called this girl out of her name? Remember you called him out of his name? Especially when you were going based off of your female intuition. Shout out to the ladies. When you were going based off of those notions, did you ever have that time where you was by yourself in your house, alone in your own thoughts, and realized, that was wrong.
That was wrong. No, I mean, they can't do that. That was wrong.
Like, you didn't have that moment. So you didn't have that moment. It's going to be rare that I think you went up to that person and apologized for your actions.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So as far as that, I don't...
That was wrong, Ashley.
Yeah, that it's makes... distracting. It's just, wow. Because it's so much easier to ignore it than to be accountable for it.
Yes.
It's so much easier.
So much easier. They'd rather run. Like we talked about earlier, they'd rather run from it. Well, I have to, unfortunately, a lot of people are like that. And they don't understand that they're damaging everyone around them, who they come in contact with, when they keep that same mindset and don't want to change. You get where I'm coming from. So you already know. I want you to give a shout out to this podcast. I want you to give all the platforms that you're on. So go ahead. You got it.
Yeah, and I want to take a moment to say shout out to my brother, Ye400, for asking me to do this interview. It's a rarity that I take time out of my schedule. I only did 3 interviews in my lifetime. As far as people interviewing me, shout out to Chaos Radio. Shout out to Diesel TV. A being the third. Shout out to my brother. This all started from a simple point of my life where I just got tired of being politically correct. I'm not for that. I am beyond being politically correct. I say what I wanted. That's why we're on YouTube right now. The BTSI show, we're in season 12 of me saying what I want to say, and I'm not conforming to anybody. If I'm wrong, you better have evidence to prove it. I promise you, I ain't changing my stances. I'll die by myself, believing what I believe in. That's how it's always going to be. Shout out to Bad Apples Studio. That's content. That's Swan. Shout out to Ryan Rose Media. That's Q. Y'all know him as Pizza Blaster. Shout out to my brother,
Dior,
Podcast on YouTube, Wrestling Wednesday. We'll get back to that later on down the year. We will be streaming again either today or tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the one thing about my topics. If y'all don't believe me, y'all can actually Google my show. I'm surprised that it popped up on the AI feed. This is like
nothing. Yeah, it pops up on mine too.
That's a shocker to me, ladies and gentlemen, because the fact that in some way, shape, or form, somebody through the Alphabet Incorporation, which is where Google and Gemini is under, they said, this is Christopher J. He's from Houston, Texas. He speaks on this, and he speaks on this topic. I was like, good. Now y'all know who I am, so there is no reason in 2026 you should be surprised of who the fuck I am, because I've been that way all my life before Clubhouse was a thing. I was like that before YouTube, and we're going to be like that till God calls me home.
You said you started since 2002 to 2015 to now, so you're not new in this. You know what I mean? So you have
I've been doing this for a good minute.
March
20th.
Right.
March 20th, 2015 is when this all started, and we still here. We do, like I said, we're in season 12 of the same. Ain't nothing stopping. If there's going to be a consistency, it's always going to be me. And you can expect me to be consistent.
So the thing is now, this is what I'm going to say. Growth usually begins with uncomfortable honesty. That's what it begins, uncomfortable honesty. Many people fear silence because silence forces reflection. Distraction prevents self-awareness. The conversation people avoid usually hold the answer they need the most, whether it's relationship, friendship, family, or yourself. Comfort can protect feelings, but truth can change lives. This was the uncomfortable conversation sometimes. The realest talk happened when nobody wants to have them. And I'm pretty sure you all can relate to that. And Chris, I want to thank you for coming out. And you guys can all check me out on all platforms, from Spotify to iHeartRadio to YouTube. I have a YouTube channel. I create my own automation. Of course, you know how to do something different. I was the first. So let them copy.
Shout out to the BTS side, all the bros that he just mentioned earlier. And then we're gonna end this now, man. You know, like thank you for coming out for the Point of Club Rooftop Talk, bro. Having that, giving me that opportunity to interview you. And you're gonna go big, you're gonna go places too, bro. Best believe that. You're gonna go big places, man. We're gonna let this happen. Let's go.
Yeah. Welcome to the top. With a view different.
Club, we rise above. Rooftop talk, real one, show love.
No fake vibe, just truth we speak. Strong minds build every week.
We break it down, no surface talk. Critical thinking, when we walk from pain to purpose, yeah, we climb. Turn real life into a mastermind. No filters here, no highlight lies. We analyze what they disguise, from social fees to inner goals. We building kings, we molding